Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, Fastamaya, good evening. Welcome to Update here on Manx Radio, taking you through the main news stories of today. Coming up before 5.30, there have been some new developments in the ongoing dispute between a teaching union and the Department of Education. We'll have some details on that. An e-gaming company announces it's reducing the number of roles in its Isle of Man office. There's also going to be an organised search of Archalogan Plantation this Sunday. It's for a dog who's been missing for more than 2 weeks. And some good news, there's a new gaming attraction opening in Douglas tonight. And as ever, we'd love to hear from you. We'll also keep an eye on the traffic and travel as well. If you'd like to get in touch, though, 166 177, or you can email studio@manxradio.com. You can also find us on WhatsApp as well and message us anytime for free. We'll start with a roundup of today's main news headlines with Christian Fastamaya.
Fastamaya. The Department of Education says it completely refutes claims it's breached employment policies and professional standards. The Head Teachers Union says it's taking steps to protect its members from what it calls further misuse of disciplinary proceedings. The Department for Enterprises confirmed e-gaming company Derivco is planning to reduce the number of roles in its Isle of Man office. It's not yet known how many jobs here will be affected, though. The Department of Infrastructure has confirmed that a pole placed on Hillbury Roads in Onchan was incorrectly installed by its contractors and will be rectified. It comes after MHK Rob Callister posted about the signpost expressing his concerns.
It's clearly an obstruction to prams. It's clearly an obstruction to people with visual effects as well. So this is just completely bonkers.
And a yellow weather warning's been issued with up to 25 millimetres of rain possible. Heavy rain is expected overnight and into Saturday, with a risk of thunderstorms and localised flooding. In the latest international news now, and seven men have been convicted over the sexual exploitation of two teenage girls. The group preyed on the girls' vulnerabilities in Rochdale, Greater Manchester, over 5 years to groom them as sex slaves. Donald Trump's claimed Iran might now have another opportunity to make a nuclear deal after strikes by Israel overnight. Tehran's news outlets are reporting 78 people were killed, with 329 injured. And two men have been jailed over the theft of a £4.8 million solid gold toilet from Blenheim Palace. Detective Superintendent Bruce Riddell says it's unlikely the toilet will be returned.
The toilet has been broken up into several pieces. In total, it was just under 99 kilos of gold. I think the gold will be melted down, so finding that now will be really difficult.
Those are the update news headlines next at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Christian. Sorry, I'm just fascinated by the toilet story there. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. And as Christian mentioned, there is that yellow weather warning in place. This is ahead of the expected heavy rainfall and the possibility of thunderstorms across the island from tonight. So that's 3 a.m. until tomorrow afternoon, that's 4 p.m. So there's this active frontal system, which is forecast to bring in persistent rain overnight. That is going to turn heavier around dawn tomorrow. Conditions are expected to ease and become a little bit more patchy by tomorrow afternoon, but another band of heavy rain is likely to cross the island early in the afternoon, so we'll keep you fully up to date on that. But this evening, dry, often cloudy, a moderate southerly wind that will become light, and that rain will arrive later. And as we know now, we'll see further spells of rain, which will be heavy at times tomorrow, that small risk of thunder as well, and the rain will become light and patchy later tomorrow afternoon. Maximum temperatures tomorrow will be around 16, sunset this evening 9:52, sunrise tomorrow morning 4:45.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Delshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tremode Estate, view delshawvehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zet's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
SMS Trading have moved to 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. For flat pack to fully built, new or second-hand furniture, SMS Trading offer all-island delivery and man-in-a-van service. Call 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
At Bigode Cattery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cattery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. contact Bagode Cattery on 676 947 or find Bagode Cattery on Facebook.
It's exactly 5 past 5. Now, the Department for Enterprise has confirmed that the e-gaming company Derivco is planning to reduce the number of roles in its Isle of Man office. Now, it's not yet known how many jobs will be affected, but Amy Griffiths has more details.
Derivco is said to have initiated a restructure of its business operations as part of a broader global effort to streamline its activities. Last year, the company carried out another redundancy process, which put a number of jobs at risk. At the time, a spokesperson for the company said that despite numerous efforts to address inefficiencies, its current model does not fully support its objectives. It believes that a new operating model aimed at modernising the business will accelerate growth and innovation. DfE says while decisions that result in job losses are never welcome, it acknowledges it's a group-wide commercial decision affecting multiple jurisdictions. It says Derivco remains a significant employer here, and Digital Isle of Man is committed to supporting individuals affected during this transition. DfE insists the island's digital sector continues to show strength, with demand for digital skills remaining high across many areas of the economy. It hopes that means anyone impacted will be able to find alternative employment elsewhere on the island.
Amy Griffiths reporting there. 6 minutes past 5. You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. And as we've just heard, there have been some new developments in the ongoing dispute between the National Association of Head Teachers and the Department of Education, Sport and Culture. Christian is here now, who has the latest on this. So Christian, just would you just bring us up to speed, first of all, and tell us what's happening?
Yeah, faster, my Beth. Well, school leaders, which are represented by the NAHT, are now being asked whether they support moving to a ballot for industrial action. The union says this is a last resort, but it's clear they feel pushed to the brink. They're accusing the Department of Education of what they describe as the misuse of disciplinary procedures, also a disregard for agreed policy, and even victimisation of union officials.
OK, so let's look at the concerns the union is raising. What specifically has it said?
Yeah, so the union has identified 4 main areas of what it's describing as critical concern. So these include, as I've just said, victimisation of union members, which could amount to breaches of protected employment rights, repeated violations of the Fairness at Work policy, especially failing to uphold values like fairness and respect, the misuse of disciplinary procedures, which the union says are being used punitively rather than as a tool for professional development, and finally, failures in leadership, breaching the Public Service Code of Conduct. The union says these issues are not isolated but reflect a systemic pattern of behaviour that may even constitute unlawful conduct.
So we've got some pretty serious allegations there. Can you tell us how we reached this point? Can you give us some background?
Yeah, so the dispute's been building over the past several weeks. It started publicly back in May when the NAHT accused the department of fostering a toxic and broken relationship with school leaders. Rob Kelsall, the Assistant General Secretary, claimed that some leaders had been unfairly suspended, later cleared, yet still faced further accusations. He also raised concerns that school leaders were being discouraged from speaking to their union, which he said amounted to a culture of fear. The department did reject those claims, saying they didn't reflect their values and that matters were subject to internal processes. But the situation has escalated. In an interview, the union called for a formal review into the department's working culture. And now, with what they see as continued inaction and no progress on a promised independent review, they're now consulting members on whether to take industrial action.
So we have contacted the Department for Education for a response. Have they come back to us?
Yeah, we received a response earlier this afternoon, and it's very similar to the one that it issued when these concerns were first raised back in May. It says it completely refutes the claims that it's breached employment policies and professional standards.
Christian, thank you very much indeed. As ever, the full details from both sides of that story are available now at manxradio.com. It's coming up to 9.5 minutes past 5, and the upcoming 2026 general election is a chance for the public to make their views known to make sure we have a better government next time. So this has come from the Douglas Central MHK, Chris Thomas, who was speaking on Manx Radio's Man in Line at lunchtime. He's been an MHK for 12 years now and is the longest continuous serving member of the House of Keys, besides the Chief Minister or the Speaker. He told Andy there was a real lack of trust in the current administration.
We're all there to represent the people and to make make sure the policies going forward are the right policies for the island, for everybody who lives on the island, the people who come to the, back to the island in the future. We're in a pretty bad way these days. There's lack of trust in government, in public service delivery more generally, and I have been able to contribute more from outside government than inside government. Most recently, I was asked to stand down from being a member of the Department of Health and Social Care. Before that, I was asked to stand down from being Minister of Infrastructure, supposedly to speed up reform, reform that never happened. It slowed down or was cancelled. In actual fact, that was about the gas issue. And where we are now is I've been an MHK for 12 years. I've actually been a minister for fewer than five years. So I've, and I hope and the 2026 general election is absolutely vital, and I'm looking forward today to talking about some crucial issues so that we have the 2026 election as a chance for the public to make their views known. I'm informed by the facts so that they have costed choices about some very important issues for all of our future. That's what elections are all about. It's not about nice people getting elected. It's about making sure we have the right information on the table as we make up our minds how we vote and we have a better government next time.
You mentioned a lack of trust. I mean, is that perceived or is it real?
No, it's real. It's real. You would be... I know you wouldn't be surprised, actually, but some people would be surprised how many people around the middle of Douglas, where I represent, who would say to you that really, Chris, this time government has lost it. I mean, over the last 10 years, we've been unhappy with some of the choices made and decisions made, but government's really lost it now. You know, you sort of owe it to us to make sure that policy is on the table, costed policy with options and choices, so that we have a really good general election and a really good government that's formed after the general election.
That is the Douglas Central MHK Chris Thomas speaking with Andy on Man in Line at lunchtime. You can listen back to that programme in full as a podcast on our website. 11 minutes past five. People have the chance to enjoy a swim at Brainwaves Coaching in Union Mills this Sunday. Water psychology coach Sian Griffiths says it's all in aid of Loneliness Awareness Week, and her only request is that people donate towards I'll Listen. The charity provides early intervention for mental health support. So this is all happening from midday on Sunday until around 2 p.m. Sian has more details on it.
Studies have shown that loneliness is heightened under the age of 30. And I know loneliness affects everybody. And so it's not open to, you know, to any, it's open to any age. But I just thought that would be a good charity to give some money to.
Now, how did the idea of doing something around this week come to you? Is it something that you always kind of try to raise more awareness of?
I actually found a charity in Bristol in the UK called the Marmalade Trust. And they are based in Bristol, but they go all around the UK. And I just thought, well, loneliness is an important thing to think about it because arguably it can't be seen. And it's important that people talk about it because loneliness ebbs and flows and it affects everybody. And so I thought this would be a good way of highlighting it.
And what made I'll Listen your charity of choice?
Because they work with people from about 15 upwards, and they have different ways of approaching things. And I just thought it would be a good way of highlighting them. The pool is quite small. And so I do ask that if people could let me know, so we could then have about four people in the pool at the same time.
How has the reaction been so far towards this event?
I've had a few inquiries, which is great, but I haven't had anybody actually commit yet, and it is this Sunday.
Well, that was Sian Griffiths, who is a water psychology coach. That's happening at the Brainwaves Coaching in Union Mills this Sunday, open from midday until 2 p.m. And as Sian said, any donations towards I'll Listen would be very gratefully received.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, nothing reported on the police pages at the moment, which is always good news. So hopefully your drive home, apart from the roadworks, which we know about generally, will be a good one. We know there is going to be that heavy rain, so that's probably something to look out for if you're out travelling later tonight or early tomorrow morning. Looking down at the airport, there is a slight delay on the Manchester flight. It's just about going at 6:45 as opposed to 5 o'clock. But looking at the steam packet, all okay there. Although they do let you know that because of planning planned maintenance on the number one link span at Heysham Port on Monday. Foot passengers will be disembarking via coach. So the next ship due in to Douglas Harbour will be the Manxman, due in around 6 o'clock and heading out again at 7:45.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Heyside.
It's coming up to 5:15. The Isle of Man women's national football team will return to action when they host Kendal Town in a friendly at the Bowl in Douglas tomorrow from 3 p.m. The Manx squad's captain, Becky Corkish, and manager Wayne Leesey say they're excited for this test ahead of the Ireland Games in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, new opposition. We've not played them before. And honestly, we don't really know what they're going to bring. We don't know whether it's going to be super competitive. We don't know whether it's going to be a nice little game for us to warm up before the Ireland Games. So I'm excited to see what happens, and obviously playing football over here, we know our competition week in, week out, so it'll be really exciting to be able to play against a team we have no idea about.
And Wayne, a lot of the time both the men's and women's teams have to travel off Ireland to take part in friendlies or competitions. How does it differ preparing for a home match instead of having to think about all the travel and logistics?
Well, first of all, we're not getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to get the boat, so it's certainly better preparation for the players in terms of having a good night's sleep beforehand. It's a fantastic opportunity to allow the players, friends and family to come down and watch what a talented group of players we have.
And Becky, recently as well, you had a great test over at Accrington Stanley as well. That was a very close fought game, if you like. It seems to be played in great spirit as well. What did you all learn from that you can take into this game and this summer?
I think fitness goes a long way with football, especially in the women's game as well. We've obviously been training really hard lately to up the fitness and to up the football ability. Having a break over TT didn't help, but it definitely made the girls realise with the Accrington game, no, we need to keep this fitness going over the TT fortnight, because we were already on the back foot with not knowing that we were going to go to the Ireland game, so now we know that we had to dig deep and work harder.
And with this game, Wayne, as well, like you've both mentioned there, is the fact that Ireland Games is a massive priority coming up in the next few weeks. But just for this particular fixture, what would you like to see?
I'd like to see things we worked on at training being implemented into a real match situation. How the girls can problem solve in terms of during the match. Like Corky says, we don't know what we're going to come up against, so that will dictate how we play.
And you'll be able to hear the extended interview with Becky Corkish and Wayne Leesey there on Friday Sport Preview tonight from 5:30. 5:17 now, and Age Concern Isle of Man has welcomed a new patron to the organisation. Malcolm Kelly, the charity's founding member, retired from the position as chair after 33 years this week. And during a ceremony in his honour, the group announced his new title. Susan Swan has officially taken over as chair of the group that supports elderly residents here, and reflecting on his journey, Malcolm says it's been amazing.
I was sitting in my office minding my own business. I was told that there was a deputation of three ladies who wanted to see me. It turns out that these ladies were ladies from Citizens Advice in Ramsey. Their place was packing up. The one big thing that they were determined to try to do is to get services for older people, and they knew that I was involved with other charities. They asked me, would I be willing to take it on and set it up? I said, let me think about that. I thought about it, and I was very honoured and delighted to have the opportunity to set it up. Our first meeting took place in our front room, on our couch, and that was the start. And it grew, and it grew, and it grew. They're talking about patron. What that involves, I don't know. On the other hand, if I am involved, I don't think I'll be able to stay on the sidelines very much. So I think they'll still find me as a gremlin there.
And you know, seeing the work that the organisation does year on year, the amount of people it assists, I'm sure you can comfortably say, you know, you've achieved, or it's achieved everything you wanted it to or envisioned it to.
It's done most of the things I would like it to do. I would hope in the future that there are other exciting things. But really, where there are lonely people living on their own, where there are people who might perhaps have lost a partner, if Age Concern can help those people, then there'll always be an Age Concern.
Oh, isn't that lovely? That is Malcolm Kelly, who was Age Concern Isle of Man's founding member. It's coming up to 20 past five. An organised search of Archallagan Plantation is set to get underway on Sunday to look for a missing dog. Elvis, the German Shepherd, Cross, slipped his harness during his walk on the 28th of May, but he has been spotted in the plantation several times since then. Bert Backer is coordinating the search, and he told Siobhan they need as many people as possible and specifically are appealing to anyone with a drone.
The problem that we had is that part of the plantation is within 1,000 metres of the TT course, and because of that, the whole of our Archallagan became a no-fly zone for the drones. So we had to wait. We are actually still waiting for somebody with a drone. So if anybody who's listening at the moment has a drone, especially with a heat camera, that would be great if they could come on Sunday as well and help us out. The more drones, the better.
And obviously, you mentioned Sunday there. There's an organised search, isn't there, on Sunday starting at 2 o'clock. A lot of our plantations are still closed while DEFA deals with, you know, fallen trees and things. We've covered that here on Manx Radio before, but you've got special permission, haven't you, for Sunday to have this search. Who all do you want to come out? Is it an open invitation?
Yeah, it's an open invitation to everybody who wants to come out. I've got the authorization from DEFA, so officially the cap of the plantation is officially closed, but anybody who will want to help to find Elvis is welcome to join us. The car park will be open at 13:30. I've got the key for that, and at 2 o'clock we want to start. We've got about 100 car parking spaces around that area, so we should be able to do it.
And like I say as well, you've had a crate sort of sitting out in the area, haven't you? It's been open, it's had food to try and attract him. So, I mean, his hope and fingers crossed that actually he'll make his way into that before Sunday, but at the minute he seems to just be enjoying his adventure around the plantation, doesn't he?
Yeah, the thing is, it's a Spanish rescue dog, and the first part of his life he was actually on the street, so he's used to this. So we think he's gone into some what they call survival mode, and he's basically running around happy as Larry. People have been putting food out, so he's not starving. There's plenty of water in the plantation because we've got a river going through it. We've got a few lakes in there as well, so he has got enough water. With the crate itself, the crate has been placed on numerous places. We have caught two dogs in there and a cat, but they were the wrong ones, unfortunately. So we do know that the crate is actually working. The last sighting that we had so far was last Monday, and that was on the plantation, not that far away from the crate. So we know he's still in the plantation. We just need to find where he's actually hiding, because he's a master in hiding. That's what it looks like.
That is Bert Backer, who's coordinating the search for Elvis this Sunday. It's at 2 p.m. If you're able to go along, please don't bring your own dogs with you. And also, if you see Elvis, you're asked not to shout his name, but to kneel or sit down quietly and let him come to you. And you can hear more from Bert in our latest newscast on our website. Now, there is a new attraction in Douglas tonight. It's the latest project established in memory of 21-year-old Manxman Lucas Martin, who died of meningitis in 2023. Lukey's Bar opened in May last year at the Palace Hotel, and last night a new gaming section in the casino was officially unveiled. I went along and spoke to owner of Curveline Design, Mark Green, who is behind the designing of the new gaming area, and first chief executive of Palace Holdings and Lucas's dad, Brett Martin. He told me this latest venture is something Lucas really would have approved of.
We shared many, many passions, but darts and cricket were not two of them. We love football, rugby, rallying, all these different things, but darts and cricket were two things that he stuck. When he liked something, it didn't matter what his dad thought. He would stick to his guns, and I tried to shoot him down, but I never managed to do that. He loved darts. He played at home, and then when he went to university, he could start as a water boy there with him as well. Yeah.
So where did the idea come from for then to do this here?
It was really a few conversations I had with the family, young members of the family. So Lucas has got two brothers, Connor and Bradley, and a cousin, Dan, and they're millennials, Gen Z. They were saying to me, you know, Lucas Bar is great. You captured a great market there, but you're not really quite getting it right for the younger people because they want an experience. And this was new to me because my nights out in the 80s was beer and chips, but they were very much for this experience. So I was saying, okay, well, what is that experience then? And they were saying, well, look into the UK, Dad. You've got Flight Club, you've got Roxy Lanes, you've got all these oldest clubs emerging, which is the sort of 2030 somethings. And so that was really the start of it all. We thought, how can we combine that with the Lucas Bar?
And this is where Mark comes in. Mark, where do you go about starting a project like this?
Well, I think we started with Lucas Bar originally, and then Brett gave us a brief for this casino to try and make an interactive space. So we worked with Brett and the team, and we tried to bring a multifunctional space in, if you like, and make it a bit more fun than what it was as a standard casino.
So would you be able to describe to us what we've got here?
We've got interactive darts, we've got the shuffleboard, still got the gambling machines around and about, and the pool tables, and it was just to try and break up the space to make it less formal as a casino, and try and bring the millennials in and make it more of a full space, linking with Lucas as well.
That was Mark Green from Curveline Designer. Before that, Brett Martin, Lucas's dad and also chief executive of Palace Holdings, talking about that new attraction in the casino. You can find out more at lukies.im. And in a few weeks, there is going to be a dartboard put in the family area, you know, where the lounge bar is, so families can enjoy that as well, because obviously the casino is over 18. It is 25 past five. Let's join Rob now for the sports news.
Pastor Mike. Well, first off tonight, FC Isle of Man has confirmed its first pre-season friendly ahead of the 2025-26 season. The Ravens will face Vanarama National League side Brackley Town at the Ballaclone Stadium in Ramsey on Saturday, the 12th of July, kicking off at 2 p.m. It'll be the third consecutive year that both sides have faced each other in a pre-season meeting on Manx Shores. Well, in 24-25, a disappointing second half of the season saw FC Isle of Man eventually finish 15th in the NWCFL Premier Division. Meanwhile, Brackley Town enjoyed a historic campaign in which they secured their first ever promotion to the National League. Sticking with football, and Malou have confirmed Cal Alexander has made a return to the club to take up the position of first team manager for the 25-26 season. Alexander led the Southern side to Woods Cup success back in 2022, and in a short statement, the club says they look forward to Alexander coming in to help the squad rebuild after what it's described as a tough period. Well, during last season, Malou finished 10th in Ardern and Drug Unlimited Division 2, registering 2 wins from 20 league games. They also forfeited 7 of their last 9 matches in all competitions due to being unable to field a team. In motorsport, after a tough TT 2025, Austrian rider Julian Trummer has confirmed he will be returning to the island in a few weeks' time. He's announced he'll be taking part in the Southern 100 road races for the very first time from the 7th to the 10th of July on the Blaen course, and he'll be riding his own Kawasaki ZX-10R machinery. Well, at this year's TT, Trummer's campaign ended prematurely when he announced during race week that he and the Lionheart Moto Racing team had parted ways in a mutual agreement. And finally, in cycling, Becky Story has helped Team Picnic Postanel to a top 10 finish on stage 2 of the Tour of Switzerland on the Women's World Tour this afternoon. Story's teammate Eleonora Chiboko, who finished just outside the top 10 on stage 1 yesterday, went better to cross the line 9th today. Furthermore, the Italian currently leads the youth standings in the Tour after day 2.
Thank you so much indeed, Rob. And he's heading to the other studio now to bring you Friday's Sport Preview from 5:30. And lots more to come on Manx Radio this evening. Chris Kinney has Greatest Hits from 6. You've got Howard with Sweet and Swing from 9. And Ree will be with you with After Hours from 10. So whatever you're doing this evening, do take care. Keep an eye on the weather as well. We'll have the very latest if there are any developments on the Manx Radio social media pages. Enjoy your weekend, and I'll talk to you again on Monday.